maximizing your singlehood and how to maintain sexual purity before marriage. I think this is a topic that should be dealt with in the Christian world. Many people are following the new normal. Are you part of those following the new normal? Thereby, anyway, we can keep the bell defied. There's no problem. There's no sin against it. Okay, so today's episode, we'll be dealing on maximizing your singlehood life and how to maintain sexual purity before marriage. You're welcome to another episode of the Christian Authors Podcast, and I'm your host, Victory. Today's episode will be taking a new turn. There is something called the Essence Challenge organized by Love Etopoyemi, and she decided that she was going to interview Clarence Arete, the author of the book Maximizing Your Singlehood Life and Also Maintaining Sexual Purity. I'm very sure you're going to listen to the very end of this episode, so I was looking for which song to play for this episode, and I stumbled on one song yesterday, depending on the time you're listening to me now. So yesterday I stumbled on a song yesterday, and it was so calming and so beautiful, and I can't wait to share it with you. I hope you will stay to the very end of this episode. So thank you very much for your comments towards the last episode, which launched the podcast. It means a lot to me, the encouragement, the likes and everything. Here is me saying thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I always love saying thank you. So this episode, I hope you will stay to the end of it, and you won't find our voice boring, because sexual purity is not a boring topic. So you won't find our voice boring. So I hope you will stay to the very end, and you will get back to me. So if you have any comments, if you have anything to say to this podcast, you can send me a voice message on Anchor app, or you send me an email at victory@dachiba.com. Thank you very much for tuning in today, and I hope that you have the very best time you ever can bargain of. Thank you very much.
Okay, I hope you enjoy listening to that song, Hide Your Love Away by Anthem Light Band. So when I listened to the song yesterday, I felt like it signifies what sexual purity is all about. That Bible verse which says, keep the bed on the fire, marriage is honorable in all. So Clarence Harite is here to expound some issues, some misconception about sexual purity in the best way she can by the help of the Holy Ghost. And Lovett Opeyemi will be asking her the questions and she'll be supplying the answers. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, because really, while I was listening to it, I enjoyed every part of this episode. So you're welcome to the second episode of the Christian Authors Podcast. Let us dive in to this episode.
Good day, Clarence Harite, and we are glad to have you on this space. Thanks for honoring our invitation. The first time I met you, okay, it was a virtual meeting via Facebook. I think that was in 2018, and I've been following you up to this moment. You've proven to be a woman of words and excellence. So please, can you tell us about yourself?
Okay, thank you for having me here today. I'm truly grateful. Okay, my name is Clarence Harite. I coach writers and intending authors by grace and of eight principles. I am the author of two great books. By profession, I am a writerpreneur. I teach the art and business of writing. In addition, I am an editor. I turn manuscripts from rough to top-notch. I'm a content creator and developer. Also, I'm a teacher and a book project consultant, the CEO of Carissa Publishers, a firm specifically structured to solve all ink-related issues. At Carissa Publishers, we coach writers and intending authors and also birth great books, as we are bound to deliver nothing but excellence. Excitedly, I'm pleased to announce to you that we can turn your tiniest idea into great books, as we are capable of handling your next book project. Conclusively, I am based in Lagos State, Nigeria, and I run different publishing deals.
All right, thank you very much for that. You said you're the author of two great books, of which I know the first book is Slaughtered on the Altar of Immorality, and the second book is Maximizing Singlehood. So what inspired you to write your first book, Slaughtered on the Altar of Immorality?
To be sincere, I would say God actually inspired me to write the book, because whenever I go through it, I realize the contents of the book is beyond me. Yeah, to be frank. Because in a world whereby lawlessness has become the order of the day, in a world whereby sexual sins has become the new norms, in a world whereby decadence and sin has become the food of many, it is sad to say many people have lost it on the bed of immorality. Many people have lost it on the bed of sexual sin. Many people have lost it on the bed of masturbation, fornication, and the rest. So basically, what inspired me to write the book is God, so as to address the new norm now, in quotes, which is sexual sins. But I still believe sexual purity is attainable. I still believe a generation who can serve God in spirit, soul, and body. When I mean body, I mean being holy unto God. When I say body, I mean being whole, separating yourself unto God, living a life that would only glorify Him and no one else. Like I said, we're in a world whereby sexual sin has become the new norm, but today I'm here to tell you that sexual purity is attainable and it's very, very possible. So what actually inspired me to write the book Slaughtered on the Altar of Immorality is God, to address the issue of sexual sins.
Alright, and like you said previously, that sexual sins has become the new cool and the new normal in our society today. So, in a world where sex before marriage has become the new normal and cheating on the spouses is the new cool, what is your opinion? What do you have to say about that?
To be honest, normalizing sexual sin is wrong. I don't know type you are into, but it's wrong, and it's so wrong for it to be your new goal. So I'm against it, and I'm not a fan of it. So any form of sexual sin is wrong, and it's even wrong to be your new goal. Okay, the one message I want readers to get from my book, my first book, which is Slaughtered on the Altar of Immorality, is that sexual purity is attainable. And yes, your sexual life has a major role to play in the fulfillment of your destiny. Do not think you can toil with sin and run away from its consequence. You definitely get what you.
Thank you so much. It's been an awesome session with you. Like, I'm enjoying this. So to the next stage now. Can you tell us about your book, Maximizing Singlehood?
Oh, my book, Maximizing Singlehood. Okay, just like the name. It's about you engaging your singlehood now for a better life. Working with, like I said in the book, using the now to enhance a better future, just like the name Maximizing Singlehood. You know, in a world whereby many ladies have this mindset that it is marriage, so I just had to do something outside the box and publicly address that. You should understand that you were not created for marriage. In fact, marriage was created for you, so you should first learn to maximize singlehood before getting married, because most times many of the women who are married today, if you have the privilege to meet one or two of them, you find out that many are craving the opportunity to go back to being single. So I had to publicly address that situation by writing that book, that's Maximizing Singlehood. You should not just rush into marriage. You know, many ladies today now see singlehood as a plague or even a curse, like one big sin. So in a bit to run off it, like just avoid it, they just look for any man, anyone to just get married to and go, so they can be called married. Meanwhile, there's more to life than getting married. Hope God helps us.
Wow. I love the phrase, you were not created for marriage. Marriage was created for you. Wow. Let's make that a quote of the year. Thank you very much for that. So, can you please leave a message for singles so that we can learn from that?
She said, let's make it a quote of the year. That's funny. The one message I will leave for singles is that they engage the seasons wisely. Like in one of the chapters of the book, I wrote striking content titled Understanding the Time. So you must understand that being single does not stop you from being influential. Being single does not stop you from becoming a success. Being single does not stop you from being spiritual. Being single does not stop you from becoming a force to reckon with. As a matter of fact, your days of being single is an added advantage here. Because like I said in the book, there are many things that would be very easy for you to achieve while being single or while you are still single than when you are married. So being single is not even a curse, it's not a plague. You should learn to maximize it. That's my word for you. Oh, to be frank, no life experience per se shaped me into writing Maximizing Singlehood. However, like I said in the book, you know, most times I tend to draw inspiration from experiences, from encounters. So let's say I just did a kind of survey on the lives of singles, both ladies and guys now, and I saw a need to write the book. So I won't say there is any experience, like personal experience, that made me write the book. No, it's just something I see happening in the lives of people around, and I decide to make it a book. And just like I said before, to address it publicly, like, you should understand that you are single does not mean you are disabled or there's something wrong with you. No, being single is just a phase which definitely we go off. Like I said in the book, it's one of the seasons in your life, and the fact you're still single does not mean God has neglected you. Told you he has neglected you in the first place. So you should just learn to maximize singlehood, engage your life. There's purpose to fulfill, there's destiny to fulfill. Engage personal development. Do things, let the world see you. Like, it's not about getting married, I tell you, it's not.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Now, seeing that you are business oriented, like, I think I've been following you for so long, and I say, oh, this lady, she's business oriented. Why did you choose to author Christian books when you could have written books on maybe business? And secondly, do you hope to just stay within the circumference of writing books based on faith alone, or you still diversify as time continue? Like, the more you maybe, they say the path of the righteous shine brighter and brighter, so maybe the more you journey in life, maybe you will still diversify as time goes on.
Okay, why did I choose to author Christian books when I could have written books on business? I'll say this is my passion. You know, there are many people talking about business already, but how many people are talking about maximizing singlehood? How many people are talking about the need for sexual purity? How many people are talking about God? Like, did you get the gist? Like, I don't want to do what everybody's doing. You know, great man Jaja once said, we should do something outside the box. Sometimes when you join the crowd, you can't stand out. I don't know if you get the gist. Okay. Christian books, this is me, I'm a Christian, this is what I'm passionate about, and this is what I am created for. Maybe someday I'll wake up to write other books, like, definitely, because me, my should I say inspiration now, in quotes now, is not limited. I can wake up to talk on leadership, I can wake up to talk in finance, I can wake up to talk on anything, in as much as I'm being inspired by the Spirit of God. You know, the basic thing, the major thing is being inspired by the Spirit of God. The major thing is being inspired by the Holy Ghost, because you can actually do business now. You can actually author books, like business books on finance, books on leadership and the rest. And it will be a kind of Christian book too, in as much as the Holy Spirit is your inspiration. So like I said earlier, I once told my audience this, I am not limited. don't be shocked one day I write on finance or something, in as much as it is God that is backing me up, or it is God that is giving me the inspiration to write. I will just write as led. So I'm not limited. I am not limited. I can do, come up with anything tomorrow. And like I said, if it is God, then I can. But if it is not Him, I'm not coming out.
I caught something. Said the major thing is being inspired by the Spirit of God. Yeah, I'm a Christian. It is very essential that you get your drawings from God. At least, if at all you don't get anything right as a Christian, you should get it. Hearing from God, inspiration from God should be prioritized above every other thing, because they are led by the Spirit. Thank you so much for that. So to the next question. How do you balance the demands of writing and other responsibilities? I know you could be, must be maybe a worker in church, you're an editor, you write books, you coach students. How do you just get to balance things with your spiritual life, your relationship? Just because many people find it hard to balance, and at the end of the day, a part of their life is lagging behind. So can you tell us how you try to balance the demands of writing and other responsibilities?
How do I balance the demands of writing and other responsibilities? Some time ago, I think I wrote on this topic via my Facebook wall, because there was a time I kept having this same question again and again. I think I titled that piece God, Purpose, Career, and something, whether education or finance, something. The truth is that when you place God at the center, like when you prioritize God, when you place God first, when you bring Him above every other thing, then all other things find expression. I don't know if you get, when you make God your top priority, every other thing find expression. You see, as much as we try to become successful, as much as we try to impact our generation positively, as much as we try to inspire lives, as much as we try to bring souls to the kingdom of God, as much as we try to pull souls to the feet of Christ, we should understand that if it is not God that is inspiring us, we'll definitely get it wrong someday. So somehow I've been able to create a balance by placing God first, because I've come to understand that when you let God in, He glorifies Himself. Like one of my father would say, God cannot be mocked. Even the Bible said so. God cannot be mocked. My father would say, when you let God in, like when you bring Him in, like His name, should I say His pride now, would make Him not want to fail. I don't know if you get. Okay, let's imagine we now, as mortals, like men and women, ladies, guys, youth, and so forth, we are always conscious of who we are. Like, we don't want to fail our generation. We want to always get it right. How much more God, when we place Him at the center of everything? You see that pressure now, let me use that word. You see that pressure, like Apostle Selma would say, when you worship God, now we're not talking about worship though, but say when you worship God, you tend to put pressure on His integrity. I don't know if you get. So my own now is that when you place God at the center of your life, when you make Him your priority, every other thing finds expression, because at that you tend to put Him under pressure to work for you. So Just find God and every other thing will fall in place.
Just find God and every other thing will fall in place. That's great. Reminds me of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the other things shall be added. Thank you so, so much, Ma. And the next question we have here says, what is the best investment you've ever made in your writing? Like, the best thing, investment you've ever made while writing? Maybe an investment of time, investment of resources, investment of prayers, getting resources or so. So what is the best investment you've ever made in writing your book?
The best investment I've ever made in my writing journey, I'd say, is personal development. Like, if you know me way back 2018, 2019, I buy books. I buy courses. I register for classes. Not course, not book. Books, classes, courses. Those were my, how do I even put it? Those were the things that consumes my money in those years. I remember after registering for many classes, many courses, buying books just to improve. Like, I've always known I'm a gifted writer, like, right from child, way back in primary school. I know I have interest in writing, and those years, like, if you have ever been part of my class, you know what I'm talking about already. I once shared that part of me via my lectures. So those years there were many things I do, let me just put it that way, so I won't consume much time. So after I realized I had passion for writing and it's my gift, I just decided to step up my game and brush it. Got so kind, I met people online who were able to take me like theirs and what their courses. So after spending money, buying books, buying courses, attending classes, I became frustrated. I think in 2019, I was tired. I was spending, yet I was not earning. Like, you get now. I kept spending. I've been spending since 2018. When am I going to make money from this thing? So one day, just before I stepped up my editorial skill, I got so frustrated. I had to ask Bill, like, I asked him how much more money, like, how much do I have to spend more before I start earning from my skill? So somehow Isha encouraged me and I bounced back. Today, if I have not earned, let's say, 85% of what I've spent on personal development, I've definitely earned 75%. Like, I've gotten back my money in many, many, many folds. I'm telling you, like, I'm not exaggerating there. If you follow my works, you know what I'm talking about. There's no week I don't receive credit a lot. I get paid weekly. So my advice to you, young person, or whoever you are, that passion of yours, that gift of yours, that skill of yours needs to be brushed. And I tell you, when you brush that skill, you become prepared for the 21st century market. But by the time you fail to brush it, it just shows up for a few weeks, you get frustrated, and you're gone. Nobody will hear of you again. But brush your skill. So the best investment I've ever made in my writing journey is to invest in personal development, like signing up for classes, buying courses, buying books. It's funny, but it's worth it.
Well, I learned to brush your skills, and I think there's a time for investment and there's a time for reaping. So I think your time for investment was in 2018, 2019. Then in 2020, the time for reaping shows. That means, I think what I actually drew from that is that brush up your skills and in the process, be patient. I know you could have just given up at that moment when you were not earning, but because you found someone to encourage you, then you kept at it, then your profit now has appeared unto all. Thank you so much. And so the next thing we have here, Maximizing Singlehood has been a bestseller so far, and if so, the books even beyond the shores of Africa. What marketing strategy has borne the most fruit? Your books.
Marketing strategy. You know, if you follow me, I'm not that salesy, like online. No, I just show up. I do my homework at the background, which is God. I believe God lifts men. If you want to use your strength, you want to use your power to rise, you will fail. Like Apostle Selma would say, that when there is a spiritual backing for what you do, you get cheap victory. Like when there is a force backing you up spiritually, you get cheap victory. Even as an influencer or as an author or an inspiration to many people today, there are many things I do that ordinarily I should not do, you know, which is somehow against my brand. And I should keep on talking about my books. Come and buy, come and buy, come and do this. But the truth is that I don't have the strength for all of that. But I believe in God. If God decides to announce you, even a deaf man will hear about you and the blind man would see you. So my marketing strategy is God. Like, it's God. I might wake up one morning and I'll get the leading to make a post on Facebook or on WhatsApp or any of my social media and boom, money comes up immediately. But any day I just said, okay, I want to sell, and I decide to talk about my books or my services online, I don't sell. So most times I don't worry about myself. I don't worry about selling until I am led, because whenever I'm led to sell, I sell. But whenever I'm not led and I just do the thing, I just end up wasting my time. But notwithstanding, this might not work for you. My advice for you is that you should obey principles. Like, if you follow me well, you understand that I honor men, I honor God, and I honor principles. Obey principles. If you truly want you to rise in life, obey principles. In what you do, find out ways to become a success in it. Do not intentionally violate laws, all in the name of you are a Christian. Like I said, God is my own number one marketing strategy. Notwithstanding, I keep principles. I honor principles. I won't say because God actually is the brain behind what I do or how I make my money, I would just turn my career to one, I don't know if you get my point, one nonsense thing like that. I will not honor principles. I'll just be living my life bare love. You know, now, no, it should not be. So why you trust God to do certain things in your life, to your own part, by obeying principles and put your house in order. Hope you get my point.
God needs men, and when there's a spiritual backing for what you do, get cheap victory. Wow, thank you so much. Like, this is so expository. Thank you very, very much for this. And to the next icon we have here. It's as if we shouldn't end this interview, because I'm actually enjoying this session. Thank you so much. So to the next question have here. What is your message to those who are looking to build a solid relationship with God and not lose influence and relevance on earth?
My message to those who are looking towards building a solid relationship with God and not lose influence and relevance on it is that they keep seeking God, notwithstanding. Seeking God does not mean you should be useless on it. Like I wrote an article some time ago titled Heavenly Conscious, Earthly Useless. Do not be that spiritual and you end up becoming a nuisance on it. While you seek God, engage principles. Do what you're supposed to do. Walk, upgrade yourself, build yourself, brush your skills. Like position yourself. Don't wait for God to do for you what you can do for yourself. I don't know if you get my point. Like I've come to realize that there are many things that we are actually asking God for that we can actually do for ourselves. It's not pride. You know, someone once said, God gave you brain. Or let me use the common word, sense, so that you will let him rest on certain issues. Do not carry everything and say, God, I know God is important, but there are many things that if you just say, God will take care of this, it's irresponsibility. Why you trust God to help you do your own part by helping yourself? Hope you get my point. Not that you will just leave God out of the whole thing. Like, you can't wake up in the morning and say you're not baiting until God comes to bait you. Say you get. So there are many other things like that that you should do by yourself without God helping you do it. Say you get or helping you do them. There are many other things that you should do by yourself that you should not wait for God to come and help you do them. You can't wake up in the morning and expect God to come brush your teeth. So sometimes you need to use your brain, you need to be wise, you need to position yourself for influence and relevance, even while being a Christian. Don't be heavenly conscious and earthly useless. It's terrible.
Alright, that's great. Thank you so much for that. And so I hope our readers out there are learning from the interview. So to the last but not the least question, I'd like you to give an advice to authors trying to build a publishing history and authors platform. Seeing that you have a publishing firm. So what advice would you give to authors trying to build a publishing history or an author's platform like you do?
My advice to authors trying to build a publishing history or an author's platform is that you keep doing what you do. Someday you'll come to this center stage. Like, I didn't get here by chance. Carissa Publishers didn't come into existence by chance. Like, we've been on since 2018, but nobody heard us. But somehow 2018 brought us to spotlight. So keep doing your thing, and someday King shall come learn at your feet if you do not give up. Be consistent.
Consistency. A wise man also once said that repetition is the key to gaining mastery. So like you said, we should be consistent. In as much as we do not give up, we'll get what we want. So thank you so much for honoring our invitation once again. Thank you for carving out time out of your busy schedule to answer these questions. I'm very sure everyone who will be listening to this podcast interview will be greatly blessed by what you've shared with us tonight. So lastly, can you tell us how we can connect with you and also how to get your books, how we can purchase your books? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you too for the invite, and I'm grateful. Thank you for everyone who joined in. I'm grateful too. You can get my books via Facebook. We can connect via Facebook. You can reach me through WhatsApp. I believe my WhatsApp line can be made available maybe through a post or something. 08179599272. So you can get my books via Facebook, via WhatsApp, just reach me and boom, it's yours already. And yes, my third book will drop this year by God's grace, like it's almost set. We are done actually, so it's just going through the last phase. So get set, like I'm so sure it will bless you in no small way, and it's already a bestseller, like I'm so sure of it. Thank you once again for having me. God bless you. Thank you everyone.
Thank you everyone for coming to the show today. We want to say thank you. Okay, I tried so much to sing well, but I want to appreciate you for joining in on this episode of the Christian Authors Podcast. I enjoyed every bit of the episode, and I hope you do too. Please do well to send me an email at victory@achiever.com for any inquiry. Donations, if you want. Yes, you can donate to the podcast. It won't be too much. You can donate to the podcast, and also to send your encouragement to the author and also to the Achiever Inc. as a whole. We want to appreciate you for joining in today. I hope to see you next time. Stay safe, stay tuned, and stay blessed.
Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world. Let me hear. For your